come along with us on the next episode of Science Nights. As always and forever, I'm Josh.
I'm Adam.
I'm John, but that changes.
Your other things?
Yes.
What Jonathan. Kind of? Wait a minute. Are you in like different states of being at different times?
Yes. Right now,
is it
I'm plasma.
Quantum thing, or wow. is it normally like wow. a biological?
Or is
thing?
It like a multidimensional kind of?
No. I just take
no.
as though it's solid, like a multi-personality,
liquid,
kind of
gas, plasma.
Oh, you're gassy.
It, well, not right now. Now I'm plasma.
Right now he's very svelte. Is
I'm svelte. I'm very hot.
But you have made the journey with us past episode one and are now into episode two.
We're finally getting into the actual science now.
Yeah, and today we're going to be starting off with biology. So, real quick, a quick clinical definition. It's the study of living organisms divided into many specialized fields that cover their morphology, physiology, anatomy, behavior, origin, and distribution. And you can add a lot of other stuff to that as well. That's a very broad definition of biology.
You know how to say biology in German?
No, but I know how to say it in Spanish.
Ooh, hit me with it.
No. I think it's biologica, but...
In German, it's biologie. I'm serious.
Biologie?
Oh, it's biologia.
And then, if you were like a female biology teacher, you have to say she would be your biologie lehrerin. I can't even say it. It's really hard to spell, too. It's tough. But if I heard somebody say it, I'd know what they meant.
Yeah. It's the kind of expertise we've come to expect out of
yes.
John. But biologia is how you say it in Spanish. I messed that up.
That's nice. Okay.
Very nice.
So I love biology. Biology is probably one of the one of the best sciences, in my opinion.
Nice.
It covers everything from where we started to where we're going as far
right.
as just as a species. And I think some of the greatest leaps forward in humanity's like great run have been in the realms of biology.
Yeah, like yes. the ability to drink milk after, you know,
yeah.
so long of being born. We're mutants. I don't know if that's it is a mutation, so are we mutants?
Well, we owe everything to mutations, right?
Yes. So we are mutants. I'm joining the X-Men.
We wouldn't be here to enjoy talking about science if it weren't for biology and the biological processes. So.
This also includes the theory of evolution. Biology
yes.
is very much in part. And we'll yes. get to that as we progress through Science Nights, as well as today. But an important distinction, and it's one that people have brought up on other science shows like Crash Course and shows, or I mean even in lectures from Carl Sagan through to Neil deGrasse Tyson to probably every biology course you've ever taken. And that's the building blocks, the foundation of biology is actually chemistry.
Yes.
And chemistry deals specifically with atoms and how they react and how they make compounds and molecules. So you can't really go anywhere in biology without chemistry. And so I wanted to highlight that first before we get into the other parts of this show. The last thing I want to mention is there's a big distinction and importance to the chemical compound or the atom carbon. Mm-hmm. Carbon is considered anything with a carbon atom in it is considered an organic compound, and that's not to be mistaken with a biological compound. Organic compound
right.
just means
organic compound
in it.
Doesn't mean life.
Yeah.
It just means that basically the building blocks for
mm-hmm.
life. You know?
Yeah, but because carbon is in every organic compound, you'll see carbon in amino acids, you'll see it in it's pretty much one of the necessary chemical components of biology.
Right.
That's one of the things that scientists look for when they go out into space.
Absolutely.
Is the abundance or non-existence of carbon.
That was one of Curiosity's goals on Mars, was to look for organic compounds.
Yeah.
Didn't they find it?
They did, yeah. But like I said, that doesn't mean life, right? Like it just means that.
But it means it could be.
Carbon is there, and the basics of it could be. It could have been a long time ago. That's what sparked the ideas that Mars probably had life on it millions of years ago, or it maybe developed at the same time it did here, but it just didn't last.
Died out.
Yeah.
Because we're better.
Most likely because Mars is smaller and couldn't hold on to its atmosphere. But
yeah. Well, you know, atmospheres. Moderately.
They're overrated, you know.
I don't need an atmosphere. I don't need an atmosphere. Except we have a hole in our atmosphere.
It's over Australia, though, so it's fine.
That's where you go to get skin
everything
cancer.
Australia already wants to kill you, so.
Right? Why not the sun?
Because it's all getting skin cancer from all these direct UV rays.
Right? But let's get into how about the history of what we consider modern biology? So we can't talk about modern biology without talking about history, and the first one to talk about is Aristotle. He's considered one of the founding fathers of biology in and only in that he created the ladder of life. He decided to start breaking up the different species on the planet into different subsections and classes.
Right.
And that's the basically where we get the
kingdom,
phyla,
about it too.
Family,
genus,
yeah,
all of that.
PEMDAS,
species.
Not PEMDAS, that's fucking...
I probably screwed up that one, but yeah.
A little math equation.
My bad. But he was the first person to recognize the difference or the relationships between species of different kinds and then organizing them together based on how they not only looked but behaved and what they were.
Cephalopods. Yeah.
What is a cephalopod, John?
I don't know. That's why I said it with inquisitively. Like cephalopod, upward inflection, insert.
Well, a cephalopod, isn't that a, like an octopus or a squid?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, I wasn't going to say it without verifying it, but yes.
I was pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just asked you guys, and you were like, it's like an octopus, right? And I'm like, I just asked you.
But it is interesting. None of Aristotle's stuff has anything to do with the scientific method or the scientific revolution and anything. Like, they still thought
it's
that
just
gods
observation.
Exist. Like, Aristotle organized this ladder of life, he called it, based on what he thought the gods bestowed upon Earth.
Right.
So he was.
But it is. I mean, just like biology, right? It is like the basic building blocks of getting to the scientific method and stuff like that.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Oh yeah, I like it. One leads into another. That's
awesome.
Now we're gonna jump. 2,100 years into the future, to an English professor named Robert Hooke. Now, Robert Hooke is there's actually no living record of his appearance.
Yeah, yeah.
Most people describe him as like a curmudgeon. If you actually watched the Neil deGrasse Tyson reproduction of Cosmos,
which you should. Sure.
Yeah, this is actually where I'm pulling that image from. Is from that episode of Cosmos.
He looks like Igor.
Yeah, the man's described as exceedingly ugly, bent. And while he is a brilliant scientist, his colleagues really don't like him that much.
Right. Well, and I wonder if he really looked like that, that description last because of his colleagues not liking
right.
him too much.
So
I couldn't tell you.
The importance of Robert Hooke is this: at Cambridge, he discovered the cell.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered the structure of a cell within a cork, like within a piece of cork, and he wasn't expecting that. So what you're seeing on screen right now is actually taken directly from his notes and the picture that he illustrated of – it's way down at the bottom.
Okay.
Of
the, trying to find it real fast.
The cork. It's up a bit.
We actually did that experiment in school with a slice of cork and able to see the division of the cells there.
Yeah. The cells that everything is made up of.
Which is the word he used to describe them.
Because they look cell-like in structure.
I don't know. Jail cell, prison cell.
We will definitely, I would love to spend some time on the early discoveries in biology from Robert Hooke all the way into our next person, the great and powerful Charles Darwin. All hail him.
I just called him CD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Because me and him, we were like this.
Is that what you think?
You called him bro.
Obviously, this man is the father of the theory of evolution. Yeah. He famously went on the Beagle and went to an island and categorized different finches by their beaks. And then
everything. The amount of work he did was insane.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And a little fun fact, he did this as a hobby. He was actually brought on board the Beagle to be like a companion of conversation, which was like a thing at the time. For the captain, it'd be like if I brought John on a road trip. Just that I just
to
wanted
annoy
John
you.
There.
So
yeah,
yeah.
So I
God,
and
I hope we
fall
get
asleep
fast.
At the wheel and B, you know, to play the tunes.
Yeah,
he actually didn't even. He was kind of hesitant to even publish his
book.
Theory on evolution. Yeah, yeah. On an origin of the
thank
species.
God he did.
For real,
right? He was basically like the book starts out with him talking about how he feels like he's getting to the end of his life and his colleagues are urging him that he needs to publish this.
Yeah, the image you're seeing on your screen right now, it's Darwin Cook, it's Charles Darwin, but at the later stages of his life, like Adam was saying, he wrote his book. His contemporaries were urging him to write his, like, to publish your notes, like, before you die.
Like, if this man didn't have that thought and didn't explore the idea of evolution, how much longer do you think it would have took for somebody else to go there? Like, not even just like the Galapagos, but I just mean like
actually
to go down the road of
To be honest,
but I mean like it could have
probably not that long, to be honest, because right around the same time, a man just younger than him, Gregor Mendel, was discovering the idea and the theory of genetic or the study of genetic inheritance.
Yeah.
Through his pea plants.
Right.
This German guy was studying the different attributes in both physical and chemical compounds in pea plants.
Oh, would you say he studied Biologie? Because he was German?
Yeah.
So that's a joke only for you.
That's really it could be for others if you just smile.
Gotcha.
No, we actually did this experiment in school, and we did it with the colors of the petals of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Which is very similar to how he categorized his studies.
Yeah.
But essentially, genetic inheritance, and along with his contemporary Charles Darwin, the two of them have essentially established genetic science.
Yeah.
Right.
And
like the widow's peak in hair and stuff. They also
absolutely
studied
eye
like,
color, skin color, hair color, predisposition to different diseases. If we can actually map the genome that precisely ever.
Right. We've gotten, with how far we've gotten now with modern technologies,
So I want both of you guys to recognize the awe of this. These two dudes, Darwin and Mendel, were dead before the year 1900.
Yes.
So before we can fly, before we've...
they died 2 years apart, 1882 and 1884.
Exactly.
Wasn't Mendel younger?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
It was a rough time back then, man.
Damn. Dude, medicine, man.
Right.
Sucked to be so smart, but not able to cure, like, you
like
got strep.
Common cold? Oh, shit, we can't do that.
Haven't learned about penicillin yet.
A lot of this stuff is directly related to discoveries in medicine and medicine.
That is our fault. I should have highlighted the discovery of penicillin. That would have been a big one.
Mm.
It's like the origin of antibiotics. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
It's okay. We got plenty of time to talk
about
biology.
Science nights for days is what
we're
And then we have to jump ahead another 80 years from this lovely Gregor Mendel gentleman to none other than the discoverers of the double helix, James Watson and Francis Crick. In 1962, these two brilliant scientists won the Nobel Prize for cataloging and deciphering DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. Not only did they discover the structure, but they also discovered that everything was made up of two pairs, there's four different things: adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine, and the combination of those four creates DNA.
Nice.
So
very nice.
Am I the only one that thinks that they look like the owners of Hook? Igor? Like they created him?
Robert Hooke. Okay, so that's where I thought you were talking
about. It was a throwback to like 3 minutes ago.
I don't, yeah, sorry.
They were the owners of him?
Yeah,
like,
that
so
was
you got
weird.
Like Igor.
Like he's a slave?
And these
like
are the mad scientists?
This is a science show, not a politics show.
No, so like you got Igor, right? He's like the assistant dude, and then you've got these guys who are like
so
the main scientists.
These guys made him,
are,
you're saying.
Well, that's
made
like
him?
Frankenstein.
They made him.
That's
so they,
not quite
they
right.
They made him and created time travel.
They're a little old. They're a little young, I guess.
Like, he lost me already. You lost me big time.
Time travels for another episode.
Well, if they were in 1962 and they created someone from the 1800s.
Well, they didn't create him. I mean, they just look like his masters. Like, Hook's not even dead, actually. He helped them. He's been in hiding this entire time. They look like they're in some kind of creepy tower right now.
It's 1962. There's no color photos.
Yeah, but it's brick. Could be a tower.
Oh, they're totally color photos, but not that quality.
Yeah.
And it's a good photo, actually, for that old... Is that remastered?
I don't know, but these two definitely won the Medical Nobel Prize for the discovery of the double helix in DNA. Which, I mean, now that we know that everything has DNA, every living and everything in the world has DNA. Does a rock have DNA?
No.
No. So it's got to be alive, right?
Yes. Yeah.
These are the questions, man.
There's DNA and RNA.
And tRNA. There's DNA, RNA, and transfer RNA.
Viruses are usually RNA. Mm-hmm. Could be wrong about that, though.
I like that we started big with the classification of species and the ladder of life from Aristotle, and we've gone down to the minuscule level of DNA in the history of biology, which is another thing that I really do enjoy about biology is it's big and little at the same time. You can be as big as an elephant, but as small as a bacteria.
An amoeba. But
microbiology is extremely interesting. So. Absolutely. Just the whole, the microbiomes and the entire.
What about using scorpion venom to light up cancer cells now so they can find them and destroy them? That's crazy.
Nice.
Or CRISPR.
Yeah, absolutely.
CRISPR is the ability to rewrite DNA and genetic codes. Are you kidding me? That has the potential to be both amazing and groundbreaking and incredibly dangerous. The idea of
storing data in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredibly dangerous this technology could be.
It could be. I mean, I think the benefits are going to far outweigh the dangers to it. But,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
It could potentially eradicate lots of diseases and cancer, too. So. Mm-hmm.
Don't give Absolutely. Your blood to Ancestry.com, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you listen to the for players.
Unless you want them to own your DNA forever.
Which is a weird thought.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about microbiology, so let's get into the building block of all life, and that is the cell. Now, what you're seeing right now on the screen is a picture of 15 to 20 animal cells. You're a little behind. You're a little. You could go up a bit.
Tom's telling you down.
Sorry, it's the first.
This one.
Yes, that's
Ooh.
The one.
Ah,
so what
nice.
You're seeing right now is animal cells. And the reason we know that they're animal cells is because the membrane, the wrapping around the middle of the nucleus is soft, is jelly-like. It's porous as well. Like, it's not rigid like a plant cell. A plant cell is held up because of the cellulose in it, and it's actually effectively
a
square.
Cell wall. Yeah.
Yeah, the cell wall. The cork that
That's what allows plants to grow upwards. So.
Yeah, it gives them the structure and the rigidity, like in your bone.
So there's quite a bit of things to talk about surrounding the cell. I mean, we could spend an entire 2-3 episodes on the different structures within the cell, the different organelles.
Yeah,
there's a
lot.
Name a couple interior parts of a cell.
Well, or I mean, parts seeing as they're all up
chloroplast,
here.
Oh, which is in which is it's responsible for photosynthesis.
Absolutely,
though.
Yeah,
but. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not on that picture.
I know everybody's heard of mitochondria.
You've got the cytoplasm, which is the goo inside the cell that everything's floating
They're
inside.
They're cheating
of.
So bad. I was
But
this is
no.
Not...
what I was going to get at is like mitochondria actually is very interesting when you consider
it's the powerhouse.
That it was a bacteria that was captured at one point by animal cells and used and propagated through
and
evolution.
The mitochondria is what gives cells
yes,
energy, right?
Mitochondria
that's
is
what
the
processes
powerhouse
it.
Of the cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why it was devoured, right? Because so the cell, a cell at one point devoured this bacteria and realized that it could get more from it by using it as a power,
so
like keeping it alive.
It's like a cell parasite.
It's like a symbiotic kind of relationship. Yeah.
Interesting.
Happening billions of times over inside your body.
Ooh, I've got billions of parasites in me.
Yes, you do.
I know.
All
I was gonna say, go to my intestines.
On your skin,
dude. I watched the video. I watched a documentary on that, and some of these little creatures they show, like walking around on your skin.
Oh,
you
it's
know?
Gross, right?
And I was like, God, I need a shower.
And
but
you
they're
realize
good for
that,
you.
Like, yeah, and they also live
them.
In you.
Yes.
Your
yes.
digestive tract is reliant on bacteria. To break
yep.
bacteria
yeah.
and
good.
Enzymes to break down your.
Do you know
food?
How they? Like, if I have good bacteria, right, but you don't, your body's not, you don't have the right bacteria and
yes.
they can break down your food,
yes.
they actually transplant a piece of poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the weirdest thing for
I mean,
me to, like, picture.
To imagine, yeah.
Like, we're just going to put this little piece of poop in you now.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
Overall,
numbers.
overall, we're just barely learning the, really how the microbiomes work and
yeah.
stuff like that. But basically, everything you've ever eaten contributes to your microbiome and environments you've been in and stuff like that. So at some point, it could be very likely that doctors could diagnose you solely on your microbiome.
Huh?
or at least a lot of different disorders.
At least gain a lot more understanding.
Right.
A quick note about your cells. There's a reason why when you get dehydrated that it affects you more than just a parched throat. Your cells, like, they're made of water. The interior of your cells, the cytoplasm, is like 90% water or something like that. And it needs that fluidity in order to do the conducting that it needs to do to grow, to divide. So there's a reason why you get a headache, you feel lightheaded, you lose energy, you start to wear down, and you know your throat ends up being super dry because your mucus is going elsewhere to protect the cells that are at work. I was going to demonstrate that by drinking some water, but... Water's good for you.
On the flip side of that, that's the exact same reason how you can technically overdose on water, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
By drinking too much, it floods your cell walls, and then your cells can't operate either.
In fact, it's actually so you can safely drink like a liter of water, right? Just pound it.
It takes quite a bit of water to get to that point where it's dangerous for real, but yeah.
I thought only a couple liters in rapid succession is enough for overabsorption.
Well, Info Johnny.
You want to fill this up again? We'll find out. We'll do a really quick experiment.
Was that a liter and a half?
It's a liter and... Yes.
I thought
it's a liter and a quarter.
I thought it was more like a gallon or more. But,
is it?
Yeah.
I'm now hydrating.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up while you guys continue rolling.
How much water does it take to kill the person?
Exactly. I'm already on.
Adam, while we're on the subject of cells, name the different kind. Can you name a couple different types of cells in your body?
Like just general cells,
just general
blood cells, white
stem
blood cells, stem cells, absolutely, skin cells, everything.
Nerve cells,
I mean, kind of everything is made up of different kind of cells.
There's even different layers of cells from your skin down, into your muscle tissue, into your bones, even into your enzymes and stuff. They affect how cells grow and stuff inside your body.
Yeah.
Jail cells? No, wait, that's different.
And they're all like little factories working, and they all every organelle in there has a purpose and is.
And what's weird is that their one goal is to propagate and survive. That's their one thing. Like that's what a cell does. But a human is a collection of hundreds of thousands of different kinds of cells or different cells that are all working to survive and divide and propagate themselves. But if you think of like your brain is driving that on like an unconscious level along the same lines as your breathing, but your breathing is done by muscles and the absorption is done by the lining of your lungs for the absorption of oxygen, and all of that is just cellular.
All of those cells just working together for the goal of survival.
Absolutely,
right?
It's when you really get down to thinking about it, like.
Yeah, it is
amazing.
It's mind blowing. Like, I mean, especially when we talked about DNA. So, like, the DNA codes how all of these cells are going to be built. You know, so you started off from just, a sperm and an egg, and then all of this coding was written. Like, all of these cells were developed based off the DNA.
That, yeah,
right.
After the zygote was created. Yeah.
So.
To kill yourself
it is
water.
A lot of water.
It is a lot of water.
Water intoxication takes less.
Yeah. But water death, you would have to really serious about
it. And then apparently water intoxication and heat exhaustion, actually the symptoms are almost exactly the same.
Really?
So it's hard to diagnose. So if you drank way too much water because you were hot, people could think that you had heat exhaustion unless you knew for a fact that they just drank
an
ass ton
of water.
Yeah, because what it does is it says it floods your system, and then it says sodium's job is to balance the fluids in and around your cells, and drinking too much water causes an imbalance, and the liquid moves from your blood to inside of your cells and causes them to swell.
So that
and
that
it causes
right
brain
there,
swelling, and then that can kill you.
So, that's chemistry. John is talking about a couple different things there, but one of those things is osmosis. And a high concentration of water goes to a low concentration of water, and salt, sodium, is meant to, not table salt.
It's changing pH levels, too, I believe.
Your kidney can only remove about half a liter of water an hour, is what it was
saying. So how much water does it take to get to that point?
Water intoxications?
Yes.
It just said several liters.
It's probably based on body weight,
amount
too.
Of time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Height. Yeah. I bet you height has something to do with it.
But
like, there's got to be
like
a bunch of
six
factors.
Gallons of water to like really...
To potentially die or have some serious problems.
All right, John, really serious. So you're safe. Go ahead, drink some more.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah, you're good to go. I didn't want you to think you were dying or anything.
So we know about cells, right? We ourselves don't know enough about cells yet, so we're gonna keep delving into that. But one thing that we do know about cells is where they come from, and there's two different ways that cells are created. One of them is mitosis, and I imagine most grade school children, especially at least in America, have heard of cellular division, and that's what mitosis is.
Yes.
John, your head's cut off. Sorry, John. I'm gonna get to it, but right now it's just your eyeballs. There we go. And then I moved everything to the right, so that's awesome too. So what we have is mitosis. So your DNA inside of the cell decides to replicate itself, make an exact copy of itself through transfer RNA and RNA, and then the cell wall, not the cell wall, the cell membrane creates a bunch, and then it splits and it takes that copy with it, and then you have two diploid cells, two new cells.
Right.
That's essentially it. That's so what the DNA is copying itself over. The cell creates a new one out of itself, and there you go, and you have cellular division
over and over again.
The best way to demonstrate that is your skin cells. So your skin will flake off throughout the day. That's your dermis or your epidermis. Your dermis below the skin, the second and third and fourth layers, those are constantly dividing and constantly growing. Another fun fact, most household dust is human cells.
Yep.
Yes.
Gross.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. There's another way that cells are created, and Adam mentioned it earlier, and it's through a process called meiosis, but it's now what we have here on the screen is a demonstration of mitosis versus meiosis. So halfway down, you see meiosis one, the chromosomes from a male and a female, traditionally, are added together, and you get the new meiosis two, the two that are developed down there. So the one on the left you see is a Y chromosome, and the one on the right are two X's, I think. I could be wrong. But that the sperm and the egg create one whole complete cell. They each come with half, and they create one. That's got to be the funnest part of biology.
It is, especially when you consider like an evolution, right? Like, so when you consider the mitosis, at some point a cell had to get the ability to replicate itself, right? And like that started everything.
The original cloning,
you know, right?
It is cloning. I mean,
yeah, it's nature's.
You know, fun fact about that. Mutation comes from a bad copy.
Right.
There are, I mean, I can name two mutations that I have that I don't think either of you have. I have crooked pinkies. I can't straighten my pinkies. I haven't been able to do that since birth. And then I'm also colorblind. Both of those are mutations in DNA.
So there's also a mutation where, like if you bend your arm a certain way and you have like a bone sticking out, look, neither of us have that. Oh, you have it.
What is it?
I've got it. I've got it. It's hard to show.
Yeah.
It's right
it?
Here.
Oh, I have it right here. Okay.
I feel like I'm making it.
I have it on one arm and not on the other arm. So I've started to lose that trait. I believe that it's believed that that was like a missing appendage from like a muscle or a bone that we used to have when we would be swinging from trees.
Oh, so no wonder I like climbing so much as a child.
About? We were made in God's image, and the earth is only 6,000 years old.
Yes,
I thought this was science night.
My bad. I thought I was on creationism.
I'm a natural-born tree climber, tree swinger.
But I'm a swinger. Do you have it on both arms or just one?
I can't make it pop out on. Well, wait. So maybe I should do it that way. Maybe my right arm. It gets a lot more work than the left. It might just be hidden under some extra muscle layers here.
But, you know, there's way more complexity to biology, and we've said this throughout the episode, that's worth studying, and, you know, we're going to take our sweet time and make sure to hit some of those cooler parts about biology, microbiology.
And more depth.
Evolution, for sure. We're definitely going to talk about the theory of evolution. More on Charles Darwin. More on Robert Cooke. More on Gregor Mendel and Watson and Crick. Basically, we've given you an overview of what we're going to do later.
Right. With chemistry included, because chemistry is kind of hand in hand, even though it's its own thing also. Absolutely. So.
It's like a course schedule, you know, like a syllabus.
Oh, we're working through it, yeah. You're going to be graded at the end of this, too. Are you ready for that?
I mean, if there's anything specifically you guys want to hear us talk about.
About biology? Or have us try to explain and then point out how wrong we are, that's fine, too.
Well, it's a learning experience for all both. Of us, too. Yes. So, learning experience, a history lesson.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about Carl Sagan's books, and he says often that astronomy is the science of humility, but I would say that science in general is an exercise in humility and getting rid of the hubris that is humanity. We are not special.
Yeah.
And science is out there to prove that. Anyway, be on the lookout for next week's episode, and hopefully you guys have liked and will have subscribed. And if you're listening to this audially, please be sure to check us out on video on our YouTube channel, and be on the lookout for some experiment/demonstration videos in the near future.
Woot.
This has been Science Night, so we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.